From this bodily platform, I have situated myself in the platform of Brahman, but still they have to fall down. Even while living within the material world, with their great understanding of Vedic literature, so-called great understanding of Vedic literature, they have to fall down because Maya actually makes them to serve the same material body they have rejected with great knowledge. Because they don't have any substantial engagement in devotional service, after their so-called realization of Brahman, what they do, they come down to the platform of goodness and then they start doing social service. What does social service mean? Social service simply means serving the body, which they have rejected with great knowledge, saying that as non-existent. Ultimately, Maya pushes them to such a pitiable stage that they are come down to serve the same material body which they rejected. They open hospital, they open school, they open many social institutions, they open orphanage, and then they think that they have achieved Brahman. This is their most pitiable situation. So, that's why Prabhupada says here very clearly that unless one is situated in Krishna consciousness, unless one understands the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that there is nothing other than Krishna, but Krishna is not everything. Krishna as a person is separate from all these things. He has his individuality. But at the same time, being the supreme person, being all-powerful, he is able to manifest everything by his energies. And his different energies have the ability to interact with each other. Sometimes one energy can actually overcome the other energy. These are all the different pastimes of the Lord, by which the energies of the Lord act wonderfully. Parashya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. That they act very wonderfully. They act very wonderfully in such a way that the most intelligent scientist, they think that they are acting on their own independently. And then they make one dolly. You know what is dolly? You know what is dolly? Dolly is a sheep. Those who know a little bit of science, this dolly is a sheep. The sheep was made by cloning. So then they say, oh, we have created sheep by cloning. I have created dolly by cloning. Now I will create human being by cloning. I'll create human being by cloning. You can give specification. What kind of nose you want for your baby? I want the nose of this type. What kind of mouth you want for your baby? I want mouth of this type. What kind of hair you want for your baby? I want hair of this type. Do you want thick baby, thin baby? What do you want? Okay. So everything you can specify. We'll make baby for you, custom made baby. This is future. What is future? We'll make custom made baby for you. We are going to play God. We don't know. We know how to tackle DNA. We know how to change the DNA. We know everything. We are God. We are God. We know everything. We know how to do it. So Prabhupada is saying that without Brahman, you cannot do anything. Because all this cloning business, non-cloning business, it all existed from time immemorial. This is not something new that, okay, we can clone. If you read Mahabharata, then all the Kauravas, they were actually born by cloning. They were not directly born from the womb of Gandhari. What was born from the womb of Gandhari is just a lump of flesh, because she became very angry when Yudhishthira was born, before she could deliver her baby. Both Gandhari and Kunti, they both were pregnant. And Gandhari was following this very keenly, that who is going to have a baby first. And when Kunti had baby in the forest, then the news came to Gandhari that Kunti already delivered. She became extremely angry with the child in the womb.
And then she said, "Ah, what kind of child you are? You cannot even come out before this Kunti delivered." She slapped her stomach so strongly out of frustration. Then she simply delivered a lump of flesh. And when she delivered a lump of flesh, this lump of flesh was split into 100 parts, and it was kept in different pots. And then this thing actually developed into the 100 children of Kauravas. So, of course, all this technology is there, but Prabhupada makes a very important point, which I was reading again, that without Brahman, furthermore, since the ingredients and the immediate cause of material manifestation is Brahman, the ingredients and the immediate cause of this manifested material world are Brahman, and we cannot make the ingredients of this world independent of Brahman. Even if the scientist were to actually clone, or even if the scientist were to actually produce a DNA-altered baby, but still they have to work with the energies of the Lord. This is the most important thing. That whatever has been achieved by the strength of mind, by yogic process in the previous worlds, in the previous yugas, in Kali Yuga, we simply try to achieve the same thing by scientific advancement. Prabhupada explains this in the purport of the first shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, that the yogic advancement or the yogic powers which were used to do fantastic things in the previous yugas, all those things are done by scientific advancement. So the fantastic things which yogis can achieve, that is not the substance, but still it is within the material realm. So what is the actual substance is the relationship with Krishna. Krishna's relationship with the material world, Krishna's relationship with Jiva, and Krishna's relationship with the spiritual world. That is the actual substance. To understand that relationship and to be situated in that relationship, that is the actual substance. That's the actual substance. And in order to be situated, in order to understand that relationship, in order to be situated in relationship, Prabhupada says that only way is Krishna consciousness. And that way, when Mahaprabhu comes, becomes very easy, because we can do that by simply chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, without so much breaking our head into philosophy, or without trying to understand so many nuances of philosophy and that and this. If one can simply get attached to chanting the holy name, eating only prasadam, and following the four regulative principles, such a simple method, not get into so much of analysis, not get into so much of philosophy, I think, just simply attached to eating prasadam, simply attached to chanting the holy name, simply attached to following the four regulative principles, then one can be very easily situated. Very easily situated. I was talking to a devotee day before yesterday, and then he actually said this as a matter of fact. And then I realized that how true it is. He said that, Prabhuji, when we read Bhagavatam, we see that in order to hear Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Brahma went through penances of 100 celestial years. And then we simply hear Chatushloki Bhagavatam from Bhagavatam by Prabhupada's translation. So how many years of penance we did? No? No years of penance? But whatever benefit Brahma got by hearing Chatushloki Bhagavatam, by Prabhupada's mercy, we are directly able to get. So this is the unlimited mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the unlimited mercy of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that even though we are completely unqualified, simply we get everything in our hands by the process of chanting the holy name. So this way, we are very fortunate. So we'll stop here, see some questions, comments. Yes, sir. Somebody give him a mic.
Thank you. Very nice class. Thank you. You mentioned that Kamsa, he spoke very nice philosophy, and then when his sense gratification was threatened, then he forgot the philosophy because it was an inconvenience. So is that the same with the intelligent class now, the materialistic scientists, that they have the intelligence to understand that the soul is there, but then when that stops their plans, threatens their plans for sense gratification, then they abandon that knowledge?
Actually, the demons of the previous yugas are much more advanced than the so-called intelligent class of Kali Yuga. Okay. They are a lot more advanced. If you compare the demons of previous yuga, they look very saintly compared to the people of Kali Yuga, because they have so much of knowledge. Okay. And some of the demons are there's a demon called Jarasandha in Mahabharata. Okay. So he had about 1,000 princes whom he wanted to cut their head and give as offering to Lord Shiva. But when Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima, they went to his place dressed as a Brahmana, just because they were dressed as a Brahmana, he received them very nicely, because he knew that you have to respect Brahmanas and you have to do respect Brahmanical culture. So the point is that the people of Kali Yuga are having so much of poor knowledge that they are not even comparable in knowledge to the demons of the previous yugas. Even though they claim that they are experts in particular knowledge and particular thing, in Kali Yuga, the studies have become so concentrated that you can actually study in one small portion, you can actually study so deeply. I heard that there are people who just study about one teeth and then, become very expert in that teeth, whatever way, I don't know how they become, but... Also, there are people who actually study only bones and then they become expert in bones. And so there are people who actually study a particular field and then they become so much expert in that field. But all this knowledge is of nothing, because, they just simply think that ultimately everything is nothing. So what is the use? So the people of Kali Yuga are more unfortunate than the demons of the previous years or the previous yugas. That's why in the beginning of Bhagavatam itself, the position of people of Kali Yuga is nicely explained. Mandaha sumanda madayo mandabhagya nahi upadrataha. That even though they pose themselves as great scientists or great philosophers or great intelligent people, they actually fit this nice description. Mandaha means that they are very dull in understanding some basic point that you are not this body. It's a basic point. It's not something very difficult to understand that you're not this body, because the body is changing. We are seeing that the body is changing. So, and we are not changing. Our identity is not changing. That's because I was 5-year-old and I was having a 5-year-old body. I was not called something else. And now I have a 50-year-old body. I'm not called something else. I simply identify myself irrespective of the 5-year-old body or the 50-year-old body. So it's not some high philosophy that you're not this body, that, to understand is so difficult. Oh, I'm not this body. Nothing like that. Okay. But still, they cannot make out this simple thing that I am not this body. At least theoretically, you can understand that I am not this body. There is so much difficulty in understanding that. So, in that sense, these people are very unfortunate. Mandaha. And even if you try to explain to them, Prabhuji, you are not this body, they are so agitated. What is this? I am not this body. So agitated about this. Sumanda madayo. And even if we try to explain to them, and then we try to tell them, and they are interested little bit, but their circumstantial situation is such that Prabhupada says that because of self-created duties, people in Kali Yuga are destroyed. Like in India, I'm just talking about India. In my father's time, okay, before you die, if you make a house, you are considered successful. Just talking from a materialistic point of view. In my father's time, before you die, if you make a house, you are considered successful. In my time, okay, after if you have children, you get married, you have children, and if you make a house, you are considered successful. Okay? But today, people are thinking that unless I have a house, I cannot get married. You see? So, the point is that people are becoming so absorbed in self-created duties that I should have a house. Prabhupada time, Prabhupada got married when he was studying. He was not looking for some job. He was not looking for some job security. How my family will be maintained? How this? How that? Nothing. Today, women don't get married at 18. Forget men getting married at 18. Okay, women don't get married at 18. I ask devotee parents. Okay, I am not non-devotee parent. I ask devotee parent. Your daughter is 18. Why don't you get her married? They say, oh, what do you mean 18? My daughter should get married? Oh, so early? Why? She's a child. Come on, you get her married, she will have a child. So, the point is that people are so engrossed in self-created duties in Kali Yuga, so engrossed in self-created duties, that they have actually lost good sense. That's called Mandabhagya. And Upadrataha is normally everywhere there is disturbance in Kali Yuga. There is no dearth of disturbance in Kali Yuga. People are having so much disturbance in Kali Yuga. Adhyatmika, Adibhautika, Adidevika. Everybody is disturbed by everything else. Devotees are disturbed by Vastu. They are disturbed by astrology. Non-devotees are disturbed by the whole world. There is no dearth of disturbance. So Kali Yuga is very unfortunate. So that is why we should actually appreciate the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That actually in this time, with this age, with this kind of environment, we are able to chant the holy name, follow four regulative principles, have prasadam. This is something great. That's why we should appreciate ISKCON. Prabhupada's ISKCON is such a nice place that we can take sanctuary. We can be sheltered. We can simply chant the holy name. This is a rare opportunity. This is not so easy to get in Kali Yuga. Such a rare opportunity. So those of us who have this opportunity, first of all, we should understand the value of that opportunity. And next, we should actually make others understand the value of this opportunity and try to get as much as possible people get interested into this. Yeah. It's okay? Hare Krishna
Prabhu, you wonderfully explained a lot of things. One thing, I'm just asking you, a devotee's body, because the body cannot exist without the soul, but when he gets a heart transplant from another, maybe very rogue or somebody else, who will get the benefit, because that the soul, the devotee soul, or that soul also will get the benefit?
So if you use something for Krishna's service, then everybody will get benefit. That's the whole thing. That whatever is used in Krishna's service causes auspiciousness for everyone. So everybody will get benefited. Of course, one should be careful that in applying this principle, because it doesn't mean that okay, someone can do something wrong and then bring it in Krishna's service and then everybody will get benefited. So it should not be like that. Okay. So there are different examples in Shastras that doing something sinful, thinking that it will benefit others in Krishna consciousness, that's not correct. Okay. So that's why if you see in Shastras, again and again, like in Mrigari's story, like when Narada comes to Mrigari, he says that break your bow. So which means that give up sinful life. So basically one should give up sinful life. There is no choice, there is no two choices about it. Okay, one should not think that there is also a great devotee in South India called Trimanshi Arwar, who is a king. Later he became a dacoit. And then the Lord came and then he actually told him that don't do this. Don't become a dacoit to serve me. No, it's not correct. Okay. So that should be there. But as long as something sinful is not being done, okay, then whatever is done in Krishna consciousness and whatever is utilized in Krishna consciousness, then everybody gets benefit. So that's why when we get the resources to be utilized in Krishna consciousness, maybe it is like, in this example, a particular heart or a particular organ, or somebody gives me a 10 rupee donation. It doesn't matter. It's just a resource from others to be used in Krishna consciousness. The same principle applies. Then that resource should be properly used in Krishna's service. That's the responsibility of the devotee who is actually receiving that resource. It should not be used for sense gratification. So Prabhupada says not a farthing should be wasted. That's Prabhupada's quote. That Prabhupada is saying that a lot of money is coming, people are donating so much, but not a farthing should be wasted. So that is the mood. That's the mood in which a devotee should accept everything, whether it is an organ or whether it is just 10 rupee donation. Doesn't matter, because the principle holds the same, that whatever you get from others, you are getting it with the responsibility of utilizing it in Krishna's service. So it should be 100% utilized in Krishna's service. As long as that is being done, then everybody is benefited. When there is some sense, when there is some sense gratification which gets mixed, then everything gets spoiled. It's okay? Okay? Okay, so 9 o'clock, Dhritarashtra Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.